Heavenly Father, we are just so grateful that we can come boldly into your presence. We're grateful that we have this house where in which we can meet you and meet one another, and we can continue on this theme that you've been having us on all summer, which is to love one another. Love you, love one another, and by loving one another, we show that we love you. So help us to understand the power that you've given to us by you loving us first. And then through that love and our realization of that great love that has rescued us and lightened our load and taken away our guilt and shame, it's so easy for us to love one another. And let us just continue to build in that. If we stay in that, then we will also fear you and we will shun evil. We won't be wise in our own eyes, but we will trust in you. So help us in that way. I pray you bring in the folks you're bringing here. Bring them here safely, Lord. Wash each one of us clean now by the shed blood of Jesus. Let no unclean thing even draw nigh into this place or remain in here. Cleanse us now, we pray, and be glorified as we sing. Praises unto you. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, well, you guys are in for a treat today, those of you. My friend Dolly, who can't sit for very long, well, you picked the perfect day to be here. As Julie and I were diligently packing the car with the stuff for church, and we're going to Steamboat after this, and anticipating all that, we dutifully packed my bag with everything I needed, and then we left it on the kitchen table. Oh. Never done this before. Left my Bible, my sermons, my music, all that. And so today, what you're going to get is a taste of what you'll get next week. I'll give you a little primer of what's coming. We're staying in 1 John, so open your Bibles to 1 John chapter 3. I don't feel led to just mumble my way through, okay? So we're going to go through some scriptures that I know and just trust the Holy Spirit to bring to you what you need to hear today. And then we'll pray. I will pray about what's happening next week, but I might just bring the whole thing next week. Or God might change it. We trust in him. So we've been studying 1 John for quite a while now, and it's all about loving one another, loving God. And I believe the reason it's in here and it just repeats itself so much in so many different ways as we bounce through even this book, and of course it's heavily in the Gospel of John as well, that this is really a key to how we successfully honor God in the way he's loved us, and how we then, through that, also keep the evil one at bay, because we love God and we love one another. And if we do those things, as Jesus said, if you just do that, love God, love one another, you keep all the prophets, all the law. So it's easy, simple, but not easy, right? But God makes it easier for us. So before we go into 1 John, we're going to go to 1 John chapter 3, and we'll go back to verse 16 where we were last week. But Larry, would you pray over the word today, please?
Lord, your kind Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the privilege of having your word before. Thank you, Lord, for showing us the love through your Son. Lord, I pray that you will teach each one of us,
yes, Lord,
to love one another, to love that overcomes sin. Lord, I pray that you'll just be with us today.
Yes.
You have the Holy Spirit fall upon the congregation and upon Randy and lead us in what we have to say. We ask in your holy name, amen.
Amen. So we start. 1 John 3, 16, we've read this before, but we're going to get into it a little bit deeper. But this is pretty clear. The word says, this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. Okay, that's the evidence we know. Jesus laid down his life, but now we have to lay down our lives for our brothers. And so how do you do that? I mean, I can't be Jesus to you. I can't die on the cross and save you from your sin. I don't have that. So if we look at some of those words, we'll talk about it hopefully next week. What they're talking about is just setting aside yourself, your ego, your self-desires, setting aside your self-desires in order to be a blessing to those who are in need, for whatever reason. And it gives us some examples as we read on. Verse 17, if anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need, but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Seems very simple. So someone's in actual material need here. So they're lacking in food, or they're lacking in transportation, or they're lacking in clothing, or lacking in cover, but they need something. And he sees his brother, this person that has all this stuff, but we see her brother without words, it doesn't help them, has no pity on them. How can the love of God be in them? So that's another moniker. How do we tell how we're doing, and how do we actually recognize, because we read before in 1 John 3 about the difference between children of God and children of the devil. And this is also talking about, we might get into it much later in the series, about how to identify false prophets, but that's also a theme. So how is that possible? If I have material possessions and I see my brother is in need, I have no pity. I just walk away. Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. Verse 18. I like to call this the biblical version of don't just walk the walk. I mean, talk the talk. You got to walk the walk. Let us not love with just words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. So this is a call to action for us. If we truly do love, we will do this. And it will be natural for us. It won't be a duty. It won't be a big issue for us. It'll be natural. Because God loved us, we feel sensed of that, and so we do it. And this actually, there's an Old Testament reference to this in Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy 15. So turn to Deuteronomy 15. It makes it very clear here. Old Testament 15, verse 7. If there is a poor man among your brothers in any of the towns of the land that the Lord your God is giving to you, do not be hard-hearted or tight-fisted towards your poor brother. Rather be open-handed and freely lend him whatever he needs. Be careful not to harbor this wicked thought. The seventh year, the year for canceling debts is near, so that you do not show ill will towards your needy brother and give him nothing. Remember the laws of those days. The seventh year was canceling of all debts. So I give something to somebody, and I really want to get it back. But if the next year is the seventh year, I got to forgive the debt. I'm not going to get it back. Don't harbor that ill thought towards your needy brother and give him nothing. He may then appeal to the Lord against you, and you will be found guilty of sin. Give generously to him, and do so without a grudging heart. Then because of this, the Lord will bless you in all your work and in everything you put your hands to. Sounds great. And then verse 11, and we kind of heard this from Jesus. There will always be poor people in the land. There will always be poor people in the land. Therefore, I command you to be open-handed towards your brothers and toward the poor and the needy in your land. So we see a theme, as we often do if we search. The theme is as early back as Deuteronomy and all the way into 1 John, which is written 95 A.D., one of the last books written. And it is, how can you say you love God when you see your brother in need and you have plenty and you have no pity? You don't do anything about it. So that is the process of how we love. There's a lot more in here we can do, but let's just get down to 1 John 4, and this is kind of the essence to me. Verse 19, we love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he's a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And he gives us this command, whoever loves God must also love his brother. And so we see here, if we can't love the one we can see, we can't love the one who created him. The ones that we see right here are created in God's image. If we can't love those that are created in God's very image, how can we love the Creator? whose image is going to be the same, because we're created in his image. And so, again, it's a way of measuring, and it's a way of telling us this is what God calls us to do. But again, we can't get it to be a duty. It has to be what we do because of God in us. So it's not about, we're going to try harder, man. We're going to work at this. I'm really going to focus on loving. No, because now we're still doing it in our own nature. We have to let the divine nature of God rest in us so much that it just ebbs out of us. It just flows out of us. And we just love one another. And that's when we get to that point where we are reflecting the glory of God. Because they're not seeing us, they're seeing the love of God. And that's what our desire should always be. They're not seeing me, they're seeing God's love reflected in my face, in my actions, in our faces, in our actions. When we do that, we know. We know who we are. And then we get to these other great pieces that I'll talk about more next week. But we go back up to verse 18, and it says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. That's a very key thing, especially in our world today, because in our world today, it's all we hear. Be fearful. Be afraid. We're either going to die of heat or we're going to freeze to death. We're either going to flood or we're going to dry up. We're going to die of this or we're going to die of that. We've got to be fearful of everything. Remember, what is it in 1 Timothy 7? Turn to 1 Timothy 1. I think it's 1 Timothy 1:7. This is really important. Well, it's not 1 Timothy 7, so it must be 2 Timothy 7. It's in my notes. I mean 2 Timothy 1:7. 2 Timothy 1:7, sorry. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, is the NIV, but I love it more in the other versions, of fear. God does not give us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and of love and of sound mind, or of self-discipline. So if we're fearful, where is that coming from? It's not from God. Not from the one who loves us, it's the one who hates us is giving us a spirit of fear. So we have to cast out that spirit of fear. We don't put up with it because we've been given a spirit of power. We've been given a spirit of love, and we love one another. There is no fear, as we just read, in love, and perfect love drives out fear. So that is one of our other keys to success. We have to understand if we're walking in fear, we're listening to the wrong voice. Change. We've got to figure this out. I have a pastor friend of mine who always says that when people come to me, he's got a big church, and he's got a lot of contending factions. I feel bad for him. But they would come to him, and he said, when the first thing out of the mouth speaks of fear, I'm not in it. I'm not going to listen to that because it's fear. God did not give us a spirit of fear. It says right here in 2 Timothy 1:7. Underline it. Memorize it. He did not give us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline or of a sound mind. So, we operate in this love that is talked about here in 1 John so powerfully that nothing scares us anymore. No matter how bad it gets out there, we have God's love, we have one another's love if we're doing this right, and that's what we need in order to survive. So we'll do more next week. That's a primer of what we're going to talk about. So he's given this one command, whoever loves God must also love his brother. Let's pray. So Heavenly Father, it's just a simple concept, but oh man, we've talked about it now for weeks. It's kind of hard for us. And even some of our brothers and sisters, which you really talk about here in 1 John, it's with the brothers and sisters in Christ you call us to love. And you talk about it a lot, so it must be that people aren't doing that. And we can see in our own world, Lord, and all the Christian churches throughout just our nation, or even in our own town, we can see how it seems like even though we're brothers and sisters in Christ, we're not really loving each other in some places. We get into arguments and fights about details, some of which are important, some of which are very petty. So help us, O Lord. It's a simple concept, but we apparently are not very good at it, and so that's why you tell us. And let us, Lord, let us make the decision that we're going to let your love overwhelm us so much that we're not going to love one another out of our own will. We're going to love one another out of the love you poured into us, so that all we can do is just pour it back out. You set us free. We have no guilt, no shame. Jesus, you paid for all of that. So if we're feeling guilt and shame, again, we're listening to the wrong verse. Jesus paid it all. Paid it all. So help us get to that point and understand that the burden is lifted. Jesus paid it all. And now we can just walk in your love, no matter how hard it gets. But that is also why we must bind ourselves together, Lord, so that we don't isolate ourselves and get wrapped up in that wrong thinking and that spirit of fear, but we stick with you, who's given us the spirit of love. Hear our prayers, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah.